Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 284, recorded on January 15th, 2016. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, and it's awesome to be here.
It's awesome to have you. And I think we skipped a week, so it's even more awesome.
Yeah, I believe we skipped a week, and it was my fault because...
Was it?
Because of my CES travel schedule.
It was in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, Vegas.
Yes.
Cool. Adam Christensen...
I get to go next week.
He's here. You're going next week?
No. What do you? Yeah, he's going for CES. It shouldn't be nearly as crazy when you're there.
It's not going to be as crowded.
It's probably going to be empty. What are you doing in Vegas?
Kid stuff.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Which, you know, Vegas is the place where you want to do kid stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, isn't next week the adult entertainment conference?
I
think it is.
Is it?
Yeah, which means it's going to be crazy in Vegas.
Well timed.
Yeah. Well, we're doing sports. We're doing a sports thing.
So. Gotcha. I thought
hopefully
that
we'll be in the same region.
It probably will. I thought the adult entertainment thingy was the same time as CES.
They moved it.
Yeah, they had to move it because the city didn't have the infrastructure they needed
to support both of those things.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But more importantly, we're learning about Argentinian ant super colonies.
Yeah, I guess there are ants in California. And it sucks. I went to, just as a nice little tangent, because people love that, I went to Fry's for the first time last week.
You've never been to Fry's?
No.
Even I have been to Fry's.
I'm from the Midwest. They don't have those.
I don't think they had one. Did you go in slow? I don't think they had one in slow.
I was in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Went check
that. Which theme did they have going?
Oh, are there different themes for every one?
Yeah, like the one here near me is Atlantis, and they've got these giant fish tanks with sharks and like guys in weird Atlantis
no kidding. Thing. It was like a Greek garden or something.
Oh, there you go.
Something like
that. Yeah, there's one I've been to El Segundo or near El Segundo that I think is like, it's like a tiki theme.
Weird. Yeah, I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Oh,
it was definitely a trip.
Okay.
For sure.
See, I've only been to one. I've been to it like twice, and it was somewhere around Sunnyvale, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I thought the interior design was like really weird for an electronic superstore kind of place.
Yeah.
Yep.
But now it makes sense because it was kind
it's
of
weird.
Like
it's a, consistently weird, but
yeah, it was like
ways.
A jungle sort of theme, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Amazon jungle.
Yeah, it makes sense now.
Cool. Yeah, I got some buttons and a breadboard. So for my Raspberry Pi. I still need to I've been calling my local Barnes & Noble to see, because they put the Raspberry Pi Zero on the cover of the Magpie magazine. Did you guys hear about that? And I guess it's only just now making its way to the U.S. So if you want a free Raspberry Pi, you know, call your local Barnes & Noble and harass
UK
them.
And UK magazines are the best.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a free computer on the front of this one, so.
Yeah, they're expensive, though.
Yeah, but they're really good magazines.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so iPhone stuff, right? That's why we're here.
Want to talk iPhone stuff?
So the iPhone 7, I feel like we've talked about this, but maybe it's just been so long since we recorded and I've been upset about it so long, but the according to Fast Company... the iPhone 7 will be thinner, of course, because it must be thinner. Waterproof, which sounds good. Wireless charging, which sounds good.
That I don't know about.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I'll take it. And no headphone jack.
So this is where when I heard the wireless charging thing, I'm like, why would we need wireless charging? And then I remembered, oh, yeah, they're getting rid of the headphone jack.
But what does that matter? We're still going to have a lightning port.
If you want to charge and listen on your lightning headphones at the same time, wireless charging will solve that problem.
Ooh, yeah, you're right.
All right, so that totally makes sense. But I have a hypothesis. And we all know how my hypothesis typically work out for things like this. I think the headphone jack is not going away.
I hope not.
But that Apple's going to do something for enhanced audio through the Lightning port. And I think that wireless charging will be an option, but it will be like a special case you buy, and it won't be built into the phone.
Nope.
See?
I'm totally with the rumors. This has been going on long enough that I think this is the reality. I think Apple is going to kill the headphone jack.
Why?
Well, if they do kill the headphone jack, then they really do have to go with wireless charging. And for the reason you stated, Adam, totally makes sense.
So, and this has been corroborated by several sources, and I'm pretty sure we've talked about this late last year as well. 9to5Mac is also corroborating that rumor by saying that the iPhone 7 will ship with a lightning connected ear pod.
Yep.
And they're working on developing a AirPods wireless.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So you have a higher end Bluetooth option, AirPods. Mm-hmm. The AirPods sound awesome too, because they're not going to have a connecting wire between them. They're going to be totally like just little, you know, like earplugs that you put one in each ear. And
yeah, I mean, potentially.
That's compelling.
I haven't used any of those no wire thingies, but I'm concerned about battery life with those.
Understand.
As far as I'm concerned, anything less than 8 hours battery life is just inconvenient. And I've tried a lot of wireless headphones, so. But we'll see. If you don't like the idea of making the iPhone thinner for the sake of thinness, I used to like Johnny Ive, but I hate him now. I want to hurt him because this is stupid. We don't need it thinner.
Michael,
my iPhone's already
just
thin enough.
The iPhone 7 comes out.
My iPhone is already thin enough.
You can use it to cut him.
You're right. Good
How
point.
Often do you use wired headphones? I'm just curious.
Very regularly.
Do you?
Yeah. I carry two pair in my bag, and it's typically when my Bluetooth headphones are dead that I use them. I often use my Shure SE210s or 215s, I forget, but I use those because they're good quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I mean, I think Apple's going to do some high-end Beats headphones.
But think about this. You basically ruin the ability for anybody to plug their phone into anybody's stereo, which happens a lot.
Well, there would have to be a lightning to standard headphone jack adapter.
Sure, and everybody loves carrying a pocket full of adapters.
I know.
I have Sonos, and I have AirPlay. And
okay, but you're a fancy man with your Sonos. Not many people have that.
But there's also AirPlay.
Or cars.
Airport Express.
Cars with 3.5 millimeter. No. Brand spanking new cars. Brand spanking new cars. Many cars have just headphone jacks, straight headphone jacks. Rentals typically have those. It's the most convenient way because everything uses it except for the iPhone.
I'm with you. I mean, I understand this.
So basically, what I'm saying is,
Apple's never been about like
convenience and helping people who want them to be nice. What the hell? Okay, so obviously
you're Mr. Cranky Pants, Mike.
I'm really upset about this. It's stupid. Okay, so what I want to say about this is...
Let's go through the list.
What is it? Apple.com/feedback? Yeah. Apple.com/feedback/iPhone.html. Send them feedback. Just let them know you don't want them to remove the headphone jack. And they probably still will. But do it because at least you can say that you told them you don't want them to, instead of just bitching about it to your friends.
Well, okay, so let's assume Apple is removing the headphone jack.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what we say, Apple will remove the headphone jack, if that's what their plan is. And Apple has a long history of ruthlessly cutting out features from devices that we are certain we can't live without, and we have been able to move on every single time without too, in the grand scheme of things, without too much of a headache. And I, the one that really hurt me was SCSI, when Apple killed the SCSI port, which I guess kind of dates me. But that was because I had so many peripherals that use SCSI.
Yeah, me too.
And it just hurt. But you know, moving on to Thunderbolt and USB was so much better for me in the long run, and I don't resent the fact that SCSI went away. My guess is that I am wrong, and Apple is going to remove the headphone jack, and it's going to be a major pain in the butt for me, and I'm going to be really pissed off.
But to what benefit, though?
Well, my guess is that... Higher
quality audio.
That nobody can hear or care about. Go on.
You can when you buy new headphones.
Nobody gives a shit, though. People listen to YouTube.
I know.
Yep, that's true.
I get your arguments. But again, this is not... You're putting, like...
Logic and reason?
Mainstream... Yeah, you're putting, like, mainstream crowd thinking into an Apple's way of thinking. And when has that ever been a reality?
I don't know. Right. I hate to be the guy who says that Steve wouldn't do this, but I'm going with that.
Steve totally would.
Steve absolutely would have done this.
I don't see so.
Steve was happy to kill ADB. He was happy to kill SCSI. He was happy to kill
the floppy drive. But they killed
the keyboard on a smartphone. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else can we talk? The DVD drive.
ADB. ADB is the
not support Blu-ray.
Apple Display, right?
No, ADB was Apple Desktop Bus. That's how you connected keyboards and mice. Yeah.
And they went to USB, which was open.
But no one had USB when.
But
Apple
USB is
USB.
Open.
No
if they were going, if
like
they were licensing
years.
Lightning, if they were opening Lightning to everybody to use for whatever they want, that would be a completely different story.
Lightning is open for everybody to use,
except if you want to pay a fee to Apple, and it's more expensive than. The headphone jack, the 3.5 millimeter.
Again, what? Okay, so 3.5 millimeter jack was invented.
What's that?
Do you know when the 3.5 millimeter jack was invented?
I believe when the dinosaurs were roaming.
Yeah, that's how they listened.
It was invented for the Walkman.
So that is right about 1980.
Yeah. Sony made it popular with the Walkman. That's why it became the standard, because Walkmans were huge.
Are we going to say that this is because Apple wants to make more money? Is that the point?
Well, is it mainly
because they want to make more money? What is the real reason they're doing this? Is it because they want to make it thinner? Because they want to add more battery life? I'm guessing probably not, because they don't care about battery life.
I don't think it's any one thing. I think it's they want to make it thinner. They want to be able to support pure digital audio to the headphones. When you do that, there is a rumor that there's going to be chips and stuff in the headphones. So you could actually, through software, change the audio profile of your headphones.
You know, when I was at CES, there were companies that were talking about their new headphone products with DACs built in. So that's a thing that the headphone makers are already working on.
Well, of course they are, because, you know, one, CES is a giant technology circle jerk, and two, because they want to make more money by selling you a new pair of headphones that, quote-unquote, sound better, instead of the ones that you've been carrying around, your Novas that you bought in the 80s, or whatever.
Good times.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously I'm upset about this.
I think there's many reasons why Apple would want to do this.
I'm looking forward to how they spin this. Maybe I'll be okay with it by the time they get there. But, I mean, if the thing is just to be thinner, which nobody cares about, and we still have a protruding headphone jack and the same amount of battery life, it seems kind of not worth it.
So now, Michael, do the thing that everybody loves to do and just say that you're going to switch to Android.
I wouldn't say that.
This is what this resorts to. Oh my God, I might as well just move to Android. No 3.5 millimeter jack.
Oh my God, Adam, that was awesome.
Thank you.
F and Apple.
Thank you, Adam. I don't know. We'll see what happens. The one, okay, so I will say before we move on, the one feature that Apple did recently remove that I still feel pain over regularly is the switch on the on the iPad.
The rotation lock switch.
Good God. Constantly.
I know that too.
Yeah, that just kills me that I don't have that on my iPad Pro.
Yeah. And I thought I would get over it.
Talking facetiously. I mean, seriously, I really miss having that rotation lock switch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. But waterproof sounds nice.
Sure.
Well, and that's another reason to remove the 3.5 millimeter jack.
I mean, it's not like you can't waterproof a device that has that. There are plenty of waterproof devices that have 3.5
I know,
millimeters.
But it becomes infinitely easier without that extra port.
Removing a port, sure, yeah, it makes it easier. One port easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And I am in favor of everybody
using Bluetooth. And the Lightning connector, by its sheer design, is more enclosed. I'm pretty sure.
That's true. Yeah, a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, if you look at one when it's not encased in a device, it's just this big open thing, physically open to the inside of whatever it's on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you could design one that was, encased or enclosed, but it's more engineering. It's not just an off the shelf part.
Yeah. Adam, I think you're right. I think the headphone jack probably is gone. And I think that what I said at the beginning of the show is really just wishful thinking on my part so that I don't have all these headphones that I suddenly can't connect to anything.
Yeah.
Well, what you're going to wind up with is a dongle, which is stupid, and I hate all the dongles, but I've got a million of them. I just got a new one. I have a USB-C to USB-A dongle now.
I got a new dongle. I got a USB-C to micro USB.
Yeah.
Nice little dongle.
Yeah.
I've got a whole collection. I kid you not, I have a case that is just mostly for storing.
You know, it'd be good. A dongle bandolier.
Oh, man, I need that. Cocoon, start working on it right now. We need a dongle bandolier.
There you go.
I kind of hope that Apple does include the headphone jack dongle with the new iPhone.
My guess is
they won't.
Of course not. No,
they're
more money.
They're going to give you the Lightning earpods.
Yeah, and if it's the same physical shape of the earbuds we already have. I mean, the first thing that I'm going to do is buy an adapter because Apple's earbuds are just so uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And knowing how Apple prices things, the dongle for headphones is going to be $19.
Yep, $20.
So, yeah. Now, what'll be really crappy is if that dongle isn't available on launch day for the new iPhone.
Why would it be? That would make sense.
I know. That would totally make sense.
Yeah.
But it won't be, and I'm just going to be like, well, crap.
I'm going to buy an Android phone.
I'll be switching to my Bluetooth headphones for, everything with my iPhone.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I typically use Bluetooth.
Yep.
But they die, and it's nice to just plug them in. Okay. Apple seems like they're going to be cutting the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus production by 30% in the first quarter of 2016 due to some greater expected sales than they're making. And I don't know. It's probably just because who cares about, it's still the iPhone 6 and people don't really need to upgrade. I think there was probably more tension built up to the iPhone 6, right, with the bigger screen, than there is with something that's just, hey, it's a little bit faster and Force Touch or whatever.
Yeah, there are some significant improvements in the iPhone 6S, but for the average consumer, it's lost on them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So when the iPhone 7 comes out and it's a significant change to the device overall.
Yeah.
That's when you'll see more sales happen because people will be like, oh, that's the new phone.
Yeah. So do you think that that's kind of going to be the trend going forward? Is the S edition going to be more of the techie sort of edition and then the the non-S version is just going to be the one that people more likely flock to? Or do you think that really has any bearing on it at all?
I think for the average consumer, the upgrade cycle is based on when they break or lose their phone or their contract is up and they can get a new one.
Yeah, but they're doing away with contracts.
Yeah, so they're done with contracts. So now it'll be
when they're up for
an upgrade, or lose their phone.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Or if it gets too slow, which, you know, of course, we all know how.
You know, for the average user, I don't think it matters.
Really? Yeah. Certain classes of average, I guess. Depends.
Those would be above average.
True. 4-inch iPhone. So the new 4-inch iPhone could be called the iPhone 5e, according to a new rumor.
God.
I'm so not buying this story.
Yeah, this rumor is...
For E for enhanced or E for entry level is what I think.
I think
is what they meant to do when in this rumor that they made up.
Why 5? That makes no sense.
I don't know.
And
we're on the 6th cycle moving to the 7th cycle.
So we're at the idea that pretty much everybody agrees with is it'll be an A8 chip.
Nope.
No?
No, that was not the rumor until this week.
Really? So we were going to go with 9 because it's Makatakara. I guess Makatakara said A8. These guys said A8. Ming-Chi Kuo says A9.
Yeah. So who do you want to believe out of that crowd?
I like Ming-Chi Kuo. He seems to.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And think about the marketing reasons and what Apple needs to do. So if what they're saying is really happening, and I'm not even convinced on this. So here's my logic on this. If this rumor that Apple is slowing the supply chain down by 30%, and just so people know, Apple normally does this time of year. So they do a big ramp run up for the, you know, new production line. So they contact all their suppliers like, we need, you know, X millions of iPhones. And so all the vendors ramp up their production going into the holiday quarter. Right. So they have supplies at launch and into the holiday quarter. So now the whole channel's filling up with iPhones just being churned out, you know, by the metric, you know, crud load. And that's the technical term.
Mm-hmm.
So then they hit the after holiday and sales naturally slow. And so they want to slow the rate of stuff coming into the channel. Now, I think historically it's not been 30% like we're hearing. And again, the numbers aren't verified. These are just people, you know, looking at it and thinking, okay, Apple's cut about 30%. I think in the past it's 12 or 15%. So this seems like higher, but we don't know how much ramp up Apple did. So it's hard to tell, you know, did they just need to do a bigger adjustment because they were, you know, producing more phones than normal? Or, you know, is this just natural slowing or is there something else going on here? But regardless, there's a slowing. And my thing on the timing is like, you've got people that are coming up for upgrade cycles. You've got people that want to move into an iPhone at the entry level. And right now the 5S is the thing for them. So the whole point of doing a new version, and whether you want to call it a 5E or a 6C or a 7C or whatever it's going to be, the whole point of putting it out is to bring up sales in the slump between the release of the new series model, the 6S, and the release of the 7. Well, you're not going to inspire people if what you're just giving them is basically a 5S with you changed the letter on the name.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean,
that's not going to fly.
Well, regardless of if it's an A8 or an A9 as well, I mean, you're either talking iPhone, what is that? Is the 6 is the A8, correct?
The 6 is the A8.
So either A8 or A9 should be in there. So it should be a 6 something.
I think you want to have an entry level phone that's on the same par technologically as what you're currently selling.
Yeah.
That would really juice sales. So the rumor I'm believing is that it's going to be a 6C. It's going to be the same price, but it'll be an A9. It's going to be basically the same processor specs as the 6S. in a 4-inch form factor. It won't have 3D touch. It'll still have Touch ID, which the 5S also doesn't have.
Oh, good.
5S does have Touch ID. 5S doesn't have NFC, Wait. Though.
NFC, sorry. Apple Pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right, sorry. Right. So many phones, so many letters.
No. I meant Apple Pay. So the 5S, you can't do Apple Pay unless you have an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
So they'll add NFC so that you can do the Apple Pay. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's it. It may still have the same camera system as the 5S, but point being is that you want something that's really compelling, and you want it in the current line. It could be an A8, but I'd like to see them do an A9. I think it makes more sense from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe Apple's more about the ROI, you know, about the...
Yeah, if it's about
the margin,
the margins, then an A8 might make more sense.
Yeah. But it's definitely not going to be called a 5E. It's going to be either a 6C. I don't think it's going to be a 7C. I think 6C makes the most sense. So you have 6C, 6S, 6S Plus. Now you've got a complete lineup of Apple's typical thing. I know they don't do the, you know, good, better, best thing anymore, but it's essentially what they've been doing for years. So you have entry level, you know, the one that most people get, the mid-range, and then you have high-end.
Yeah.
So you have entry level, standard, and pro, whatever you want to call it. But they're all in the same family. Why do you want to have the? Why do you want to put out a new phone that's associated with a model that's now two generations old? That makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other than that, so yeah, iPhone 5S camera, rose gold, voiceover LTE, slightly thinner and lighter. We're not sure about the case design, but likely a 6 style, perhaps in plastic.
Curved glass.
Right.
On the front, the 2.5 glass, I think they call it.
Looking like $500 for the entry level, which is only $50 less than the 6. So I don't know if that's enough to be very tempting. Right? What do you guys think?
Well, again, that price point to me seems to support that it would be an A9, not an A8.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it... yeah, that would be, but I don't know. Yeah, again, how tempting, though? How tempting would that really be? It would be a truly entry-level to someone who just does not care.
Well, again, you wouldn't be compromising that much. The only thing you're going to be really giving up is maybe some of the more advanced camera features.
Bigger screen. $50, bigger screen.
Bigger screen and the 3D touch.
Well, no, I'm talking about the 6 now. So the 6 is $550 for the 16
right.
gig.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the 6 doesn't, it basically is, so we're talking it's an iPhone 6
but you wouldn't,
in a smaller
they wouldn't
package.
Be selling the 6 anymore, right? This would replace the 6 and it's going to be $50 cheaper.
This would replace the 6, yeah.
So you'd have
you'd have the 7, the 7 S and the 6C.
Yeah. When they bring out the 7. But
yes.
In the meantime, you've got 6C, 6S, 6S Plus all in this same family with similar specs. And the differences are in moving from 6C to 6S, you're getting 3D touch and a better camera system. And then we all know, you know, the transition from 6S to 6S Plus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So.
It makes the most sense to me. So this rumor is weird. And what's even weirder about this rumor is the source of it was, I think, the same guys that said it was going to be a 6C. And then suddenly this week they're like, oh, it's a 5E.
Yeah. Okay.
So
moving
they don't
on.
Know what's going on.
No, they don't know what's going on.
Well, nobody does. But yeah, let's move on to iOS 9.3, which the beta... public and developer beta both came out earlier this week, which is kind of fun because we're also testing iOS 9.2.1.
Mm-hmm.
That's also out there.
I discovered a feature that you don't get if you have a 5th-gen iPod Touch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I installed 9.3 public beta this morning, and it does not have night shift.
Oh, okay. So for those who don't know, Night Shift And thanks to those who reached out to me on Twitter and let me know about this, because it's very cool. It's like Flux. And by Flux,
like Flux,
it is Flux. They stole it, which is...
Yeah, Flux has been Sherlocked.
Super cool, Apple. Anyway, so Flux, if you don't know, is the app that changes the color temperature of your display depending upon nighttime, when the sun rises and sets, so that you can reduce the blue light going into your eyeballs so that you don't stay up forever, or so it's not harsh.
So it shifts everything kind of red. And I have a more scientific explanation to go along with that.
Thank you.
Okay, so I was talking with my friend Terry, who knows all about this stuff, and he said it's about melatonin production. Mm-hmm. And when you shift to the red, which is more our brains perceive as a more evening sort of tint, then it stimulates melatonin production, which then leads to being able to sleep.
There you go. Yeah. And just, you know, in general, it's easier to look at when you're in bed.
It is not night vision mode. You know, like when you see stuff where it's all deep red, that's not what this is. It just shifts everything kind of ambery, reddish, yellowish kind of thing.
I see. So it's not as deep red as something, you know, if you were trying to look at, do some sky gazing or something.
It's not like that at all.
Yeah. Although Flux kind of gets that direction, but not as much. But go ahead.
The point is, it's warmer. It turns it from the white blue sort of tints or color space to a warmer sort of sunsetty color space.
Yeah. Yes.
But the other thing I wanted to mention on this, on what Jeff was talking about, the melatonin levels. There's also apparently some evidence that reduced melatonin levels can lead to a higher risk of cancer.
No way.
Believe it or not. Yeah.
Oh, crap.
I thought you were going to say insanity.
No.
I feel like that.
I mean, it's not, we're not going to go so far as to say if you don't have this technology, you're going to get cancer. But there has been some research, I specifically think on rats, where they were deprived melatonin and they had a higher risk of breast cancer.
Hmm.
Specifically.
So we're not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Well, it just messes with your biology.
Yeah.
Like Jeff was saying, I mean, your body, through the natural, you know, sort of color temperature of your environment, would trigger you to go into these modes, mm-hmm. right? And if you're sitting there staring at this bright blue screen right in front of your face late into the evening, then your body is thrown off. It doesn't realize that it's nighttime and it's supposed to be moving into a different, shifting into a different mode.
Yep.
So you're messing that up. And there's also the sleep thing, right? There's the circadian rhythm thing too that gets thrown off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the way that Apple does this is very similar to the way that Flux does it. They have it on a schedule. So, turns on it. You can do it this way.
Gradually, right?
Yeah. So yeah, the way it works is you turn the feature on or off.
And we're talking about night shift now.
Night shift.
Yeah.
Yes. And so what happens is that it uses geolocation and your clock, so it knows where you are and what time it is, and then it automatically starts subtly shifting the colors on your display for your iPhone or iPad, just based on where you are and what time of day it is, because it can tell when sunset is going to be where you currently are.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever use this feature because I can't stand that color temperature. I've seen the pictures posted online and I've messed with it. I mean, you can go into your display settings, and if you change into the, what's the color temperature? You know, you can mess with the color temperature.
It's probably easier to just download Flux, honestly.
Well, no, I know. But I mean, the point is, I don't like the yellow, someone peed on my display look.
Well, I mean, they've improved that quite a bit over the years.
I don't know. I've seen the screenshots of Night Shift that people are posting, and it's like, it looks like somebody, like,
well, I mean, for what it's worth,
urinated on the screen.
I've used both the side load Flux on my iPad and the new Nightshade. I would say that the flux temperature is definitely different. And I think I may prefer it. I'm not sure. I haven't had enough time with this one. Of course, I'll probably just stick with the official Night Shift because it's built in. It's not a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, Flux has written an open letter to Apple letting them know that not cool, bro. And we want to be able to do this too. We want to throw our hat in the ring.
And I think Apple's response through a non-response is, bless your little heart.
Yeah. Apple's never been apologetic about doing this to certain technologies. And to be fair, I don't know that the people at Flux have a sort of patent on this technology.
No, I don't think they do. They've just had a history.
But the whole timing of it and sort of how Apple handled it makes them come off as kind of jerky, because Flux, you remember, we probably talked about it on this podcast a couple weeks ago, they came out with a way for people to sideload their stuff onto their iOS devices, and Apple like immediately put the kibosh on that. They're like, you can't do that. That's a violation of your developer agreement. And then here we are weeks later. Oh, by the way, we have our own version and it's built into the OS and we did it ourselves. So, you know, sorry.
Yeah. What do you think the likelihood is that they didn't have that in the works before they told them not to do it?
I think it was already in the works. If it's in the beta now, they had been working on it for a while.
Yeah.
So, and which was probably why it's probably more of a case where Apple was working on this. They probably still got a lot of their inspiration from what Flux was doing, but then Flux came out with a sideload thing, and that's why I think Apple jumped on it so fast, because they're like, oh, wait a minute.
That sounds right. And honestly, if the whole sideload thing hadn't happened, I think it might have been a much different story. It would have probably have been just pure glee that Apple did this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Flux thing kind of messed them up, because they were probably getting ready to announce this feature and then that happened and they're like, now it's going to look like we just jumped on these guys. And it does. But I think they still did, you know, because this has been something that because Flux has been on the Mac for a long time and a lot of people like it on the Mac. And I'm sure Apple got a lot of stuff at apple.com/feedback. Hey, can we get this on iOS?
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it was directly or indirectly, I think the inspiration still came from the folks at Flux doing it on the Mac and then users saying, I really want this on my iPhone. And they were probably both telling the developers at Flux, but also telling Apple, hey, we really want this technology. And it makes the most sense for it to be part of the operating system.
Sure.
It really does.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it does.
It would be odd to have it just as an app where you just say yes or no kind of thing.
But the problem I always have with how Apple does this is the amount of money that Apple has in the bank, it would be nice if they just recognize, hey, Flux kind of pioneered this stuff. Why don't we go over to those guys and just say, hey, can we give you a pile of money and just buy
you
out?
That's not Apple's way.
Yeah. Well,
there's no need to do that.
When there's no patents and there's nothing blocking them. Again, this is Apple behaving like a typical corporation would behave. And as much as I like to think that they're better than that, these realities happen where I realize, oh, yeah, this is what makes the most sense from a business and a shareholder standpoint. This is the right way to run the business, even if it seems unseemly from just a, hey, let's just be cool people perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
But most corporations don't operate that way. And Apple doesn't always operate that way. I think sometimes they do. But in instances like this, where it's a purely a business thing, hey, we're going to do the business thing. This is a business thing.
Yeah. So in addition to that, there are some new actions for 3D Touch on the weather app, the settings app. I think a lot of people will enjoy the settings app quick actions. I guess they're not really quick actions. They just, so you can jump right to Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, bunch of different quick actions now. You can password protect notes in the Notes app. You do have to have an iOS 9.3 device and OS 10.11.4 or later. And you can also use Touch ID for that, which is cool. They've improved news. I guess it's more tailored to people's interests, I suppose. Health has new visualization stuff in it.
Meaning you can actually see what's on your Apple Watch for health and fitness.
Yay.
That's nice.
Finally.
Some new CarPlay updates. Some apps have been updated for CarPlay finally. So the Apple Music app now includes new and for you sections, which is nice. You can now pair more. Is it more than one or just two Apple Watches? I think you can do multiple. Yeah, more than one Apple Watch. You have to. So they also seeded a beta for the Apple Watch, which will be necessary to do this. So it basically, you can do an auto switch. So whichever watch you're wearing, it will switch to that automatically, or you can do it manually, which is nice. What else?
Now, I do know people that have two Apple Watches, but they've been really fringe case people for me. So I'm curious, what are people doing with two Apple Watches?
Being super rich.
I'm assuming that is part of it.
Yeah. But it is strange. It is strange to have more than one Apple Watch. I would imagine it's something to kind of bridge a little bit of a gap in the whole irritation that follows if you have to get a new watch kind of thing, a replacement, maybe.
Yep, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
The couple people I know that have dual Apple Watches, they have one that's just their Apple Watch, and then they have another that they need for business stuff where they need to have their data on it, but not all the time.
So they wear two watches?
No, so they have one, and what they do is they back up, unpair the watch, pair the other watch, which then restores from the backup, use that one, and then back it up, unpair it, and repair the original watch again.
Okay, who really... That sounds insane.
I know.
Do I know this person?
Oh, you might.
It's not Barry, is it?
No, it's not Barry.
He seems smart enough to not do that.
No, I think Barry's a one watch guy.
Yeah. So there's that. What else do we have in here? There was one thing. Oh, the education stuff. This looks kind of crazy cool. So it seems like Apple is trying to re-implement their whole iPad in education thing. Because having schools purchase one iPad per child is kind of nuts. They've realized
it isn't working.
And it's not working. Yeah. So they've reformulated and decided, hey, let's do managed Apple IDs or shared iPads rather. So that a student just is assigned an Apple ID. It's a student Apple ID. And they're given an iPad by their teacher, and they sign in, and suddenly all of their stuff is on that iPad. The teacher can monitor the iPad's usage from their master iPad and do a bunch of other cool things. And is there anything else I'm forgetting from that?
I think the big thing for people that aren't in the education market is to know that this is not multi-user support for all of our iPads. This is for the education market specifically, and you're using the whole Apple account thing so that you can pick up any iPad that's part of that school system's inventory and log into it, and all your stuff appears. So it's not multi-user in the sense that a lot of people are hoping.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure Apple's really going to ever implement a true multi-user on the iPad.
I'd be very surprised if they did.
Yeah.
This is one of those debates that's gone on for a long time, and I think I kind of fall in Apple's philosophical camp on this. I think the iPad really is a very personal device.
Yeah.
And as much as I know families, for budgetary reasons, would like to have one iPad that everybody in the family shares, I'm not sure that it really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree. To me, the iPad is like underpants. And you have your own.
Or a toothbrush.
Or a toothbrush. Yeah. You have your own. Other people have their own. You don't share.
Yeah. Okay. So, in addition to that, I said Apple Watch, watchOS 2.2 beta. There is a beta for tvOS.
That's a podcasting 9.2. App and folders.
Yes. Very nice to
have
folders.
Is it folders like we have folders on iOS?
Yes, it is.
I'm bummed about that.
Are you?
Yeah, I wanted the folders to kind of work more like tabs or sections.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Where it was like the whole screen was like the folder. I don't know. I haven't seen the visuals on it, and I haven't.
It really is just like iOS.
It's just like a little square with icons in it. You drill down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'd prefer to have like a folder so I could just put like my entertainment app or a tab, you know, where it worked more like a tab. So I came up and I had, you know, the main sort of screen and then maybe one for entertainment apps and one for games. And
yeah,
I'd like the ability to kind of put things into screens almost.
It may work out though.
The apps.
But they did add the Atom feature. You get your Bluetooth keyboard support now.
Yeah.
You sound
excited.
Should
have been there day one.
Well.
Yep. But hey, it's there now.
It is there now.
At least there's that.
So now you can set everything up.
Awesome.
The app switcher has also been updated to look fancier, which is cool. Looks more like the app switcher on your iPhone. So there you go. And like Jeff said, podcast app is there. So
also should have been there day one.
Yeah, yep. But what do you do?
You
realize you run out of time and you push out your product before it's ready.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's exactly what you do. What do you guys think about this bill that's working through the New York State's assembly?
Do you really need to ask that question?
Well, okay, so the idea is the bill will force Apple and other manufacturers, any cell phone manufacturer, to decrypt phones on demand of law enforcement.
Or face a
$2,500 per device fee. Now, is that per device that they want decrypted, or is that
yes
per device sold?
I believe it's per decryption request.
Right. So if they put in a decryption request and Apple says, no, we can't do it, the state of New York says, okay, you owe us $2,500. Right?
Yeah.
That's my interpretation. And this is so absolutely ridiculous because it's the same thing we're seeing at the federal level with our government, with other governments as well, where they want to put a backdoor in and they just simply don't get what they're trying to do. That they're just opening up everyone's phone and tossing security out the door.
Yeah. And this is something that Tim Cook in particular, although I'm sure a lot of other companies have also been trying to get ahead of this, but Tim has been talking about this every opportunity he has. And it's important to let legislators know that that backdoors just don't work, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if this does get through and become law in the state of New York, what Apple will do.
Well, I think I also read too, the problem with the way the proposed New York thing is written is that if Apple even built in the ability to decrypt it, and then the criminal used a different method for encrypting it that Apple didn't have access to, it's open enough to say, well, Apple, you owe us $2,500 because you can't
decrypt someone else's encryption technology.
Oh, so if someone downloads an app that's encrypted.
Which is exactly what would happen, which is another part of the problem. you know, they think that these criminals aren't going to just find another way or another technology. There's plenty of technology for them to be able to encrypt stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's not that difficult to implement. So Apple's not doing anything extra that the criminals wouldn't already do themselves anyway. They're just, it just becomes built in, which means they don't have to think about it, but it's built in at the advantage of all of the rest of us who want the technology to, for good reasons, to protect our personal data and information, banking information, you know, credit card data, so that criminals can't get a hold of it. And the problem is the criminals will go back and they'll use their own stuff, and then your average user who doesn't know or doesn't want to have to try and figure out that technology is going to be left exposed, not just to the government, but more importantly, to the criminals.
Right.
Right? So you're actually helping the criminals more by putting in the back doors.
Right. And then just punishing the average citizen for right. not taking the time and effort to find alternate encryption systems.
Yeah. It's just, it makes no sense on many, many levels. It's not going to afford more protection. It's not going to make law enforcement's job easier like they think it will. It will make it easier for the government to surveil the average citizen. And so they end up, it ends up looking like that's why they want this technology.
Yeah. And they may not have any interest in conducting surveillance on the average person. But in the end, that's all this is going to be good for.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in a way, I want to see this get through and become law in New York State to see what Apple will do. Because, of course, it'll be a much easier fight.
I think they'll just pay the fine. It's not that, that's the other thing. The fine's not that high. And if you look at the number of information requests that Apple processes every year, it's nothing. I mean, this, the total amount would be nothing to them.
Yeah. And then once that starts happening, then we'll finally start to realize what all the, what that Apple tax was really for. It's to protect our privacy from the government.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that big of a fine. And if Apple posts their numbers on the number of information requests, but I mean, it's only in the thousands or something like that. I don't think it's bigger than that every year.
Yeah,
so.
And that's nationwide, not just New York.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, it is frustrating to police that this encryption is there.
It's been frustrating to police that people have padlocks and that they have safes. And that they write in secret codes.
Yeah, totally. But
again, it's another case of trying to apply technology to solve an issue that's not
one to be solved.
Yeah, well, that technology changes how we all have to work and deal with things no matter what. That's always going to be the case. Any new technology that comes out changes how you have to do your processes. But the processes are still, you know, things that you can figure out within the framework of the new technology.
Yeah.
If you apply creative thinking. The problem is they don't want to have to do the work to figure out new methodologies and new systems and things like that.
It's so hard to brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elon Musk says that Apple's electric car project is an open secret.
Yes.
In a new interview. And of course, this is not news.
No, this is not news. The real news here is that media outlets were reporting that Elon Musk couldn't shut up about Apple's technology.
I think he just kind of said it offhandedly and moved on.
They were very pointedly asking him over and over in the interview about Apple's electric car.
That's got to be so frustrating to him as the CEO
of like, a different car company.
Like, he probably just wants to turn over. He's like, you shut the, you know, F up. I don't give a, because day to day, I'm sure he doesn't even care what Apple's doing.
Probably not.
He's running his own business.
I think it's interesting that he's doing an interview at all when there's really not too much to talk about at this point. I think, you know, and for what it's worth, people, if you care about the Tesla stuff, March seems like when they're going to unveil the new Model 3. So I'm kind of surprised that he's on the media circuit at all for
Were
Tesla.
Were they interviewing him about Apple car or about electric cars specifically, or were they interviewing him about SpaceX stuff?
You know, I don't remember. But
see, that's the thing, is I think the problem is he gets into any interview and this topic comes up. So if he's talking about, you know, because like they're getting ready for their sea landing, right? Of the, is it, I forget what they call the thing. What's the spaceship that comes back down and lands?
The first stage of the rocket, the Falcon 9?
Falcon, that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, he could have been in an interview from the Falcon thing, and then they're like bringing this up. They're like, let me ask you, because that's what reporters do, right?
True. Right. Although, I mean, for what it's worth, the they did put out a software update recently, I think 2 weekends ago.
Oh, yeah, the auto parking thing.
Yeah, so now you have perpendicular parking, which I've never heard it called that, but it's the not parallel parking.
It's when you park your car on its bumper?
Yeah, there you go.
No, it's head-end parking. So, like, if we've all been in that place where you're like, you drive up to a space and the two people are like right on the line on either side and you're like, I don't know if I can fit in there, or even if I can fit in there, I'm not going to be able to get out of my car.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can like line up your Tesla, get out of the car and push a button and it'll like slot itself in there. It'll just like, or into
no, I think
your
you stay in your Tesla, I think, for that. I think you're getting some and perpendicular parking mushed up. So there's the other thing, it's called Summon. So it's
Summon, that's right.
It's for people who, for whatever reason, need to and I think it is what you're describing essentially. If you have like a tight fit in the garage, for example, that might be one application.
Or any parking space in Boulder.
Yeah, you know, it may actually work that way. I don't know if Summon works for those sorts of things, but you can definitely tell your Tesla, hey, you get out and then you press a button and then it parks itself in your garage and it will also
that's what
pull
I was,
yourself
I mean, that's
out of the
what
garage.
I was reading is basically you line it up, you know, just outside the head end space, and then you get out and you push a couple buttons on your key fob and it will like drive itself into the parking space.
Yeah. Yeah.
But only straight in. It's only straight in.
Yeah, and I think the videos I saw where it was doing the auto parking, it was,
so they're calling parallel parking, perpendicular parking?
Mm-mm. No, it's not parallel parking. It's perpendicular parking. It's a different
thing. So they have parallel parking and perpendicular parking. Oh. Is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't understand what perpendicular parking is.
Perpendicular parking is pulling into a like a car lot, like a parking lot where you have the lines between cars. So, I mean, to me, that almost sounds like it's parallel. That's parallel because you're doing it parallel to the other cars.
Yeah, but parallel parking typically refers
parallel
to
the curb.
Your parallels to the curb.
Yeah.
So, oh man.
Whatever. But so the cool one, really cool
so
thing.
So Summon wouldn't work for that same.
I honestly
scenario.
Don't know. But the one cool thing that he said is the goal in the next couple years is that you'll be able to ultimately summon your car from New York if you're living in LA, and it will drive across country charging itself at various locations and come to you.
Right.
Which, I mean, there have been situations where that would be nice.
Are you serious? You're not serious.
I'm 100%. He said that. I mean, he said also that we should nuke Mars, but I mean, this one seems a little bit closer to home, so.
I'd be okay with coming out of a store or a restaurant and saying, hey Siri, pick me up. And, oh, sorry, my phone's now trying to do stuff. And then and then your car turns on, pulls out of a parking space, and drives up to the valet place in front of the restaurant.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Or, yeah.
Well, that's just self-driving car stuff, though.
But it is more self-driving car, but with nobody in it and you telling it to come to you, which is cool. I continue to maintain that the Apple car, when it does come out, it will have self-driving. There's no way it's not going to have self-driving by the time that thing comes out.
Mm.
I'm not with you.
Yeah, me neither. The regulations and everything are not going to be done or in place by the time Apple wants to put that vehicle out.
So yeah, it'll have the thing going to be incapable. Park.
Yeah, they're going to be incapable of having a full autonomous vehicle because of just laws aren't going to allow for it. Okay. I mean, we won't have that by 2020. I'd be surprised if we have it by 2030.
Self-driving cars?
Completely.
Yeah, fully autonomous. Autonomous.
On the road. Beyond maybe specific instances. Like, I think it's going to first come to commercial vehicles and, like, livery vehicles like taxis and buses and those sorts of things. It'll start with commercial shipping, I'm sure.
I hope so. Trucks. That's around the corner. Yeah.
But, as far as you and I being able to have a car that we get in and it drives us from point A to point B, if we have those by 2030, I'd be surprised. Like on the roads as a regular thing.
I think 10 years, maybe less.
I think that would be really cool, Michael. And I would love to see that. But I think that you're a little too optimistic.
Putting too much faith in government. Ability to get anything done.
Yeah, keep in mind, this is the same government that thinks it's okay to put a back door into our iPhones because don't worry, we're the only people that are going to use it.
Yeah.
Well, and again, you got the other complication with the states is you've got, okay, so you get the federal regulations through, and now each state has to ratify and create their own regulations, and you've got 50 states.
And they will all do something different. And, similar but different.
And so you might start to see certain states earlier where you can have a self-driving car, but until it's ubiquitous, selling those to consumers is going to be difficult. You're going to have early adopters that'll jump in right away, and that's great. And you're like, oh, I can use my self-driving in California, and then when I go into Nevada, I've got to turn it off or I've got to slide over and start driving. Those instances. But I mean, it's going to be fragmented for a while, and until it's really ubiquitous, I don't think we're going to see it, on a broad scale. So people have to get used to it slowly, and I think, again, commercial, like trucking, is going to be the first thing. So people are going to get used to, okay, these trucks are on the road next to me, and they're driving themselves. And then once people are comfortable with that, then, I can get in a taxi, and it's going to drive me around the city. And
or a bus.
What is it called? The Jerry cab, or what is it?
Johnny cab.
Johnny cab.
Yeah.
That's what's the movie?
Total Recall.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
On Mars. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's exactly what Elon Musk wants, is self-driving cars on Mars. Johnny cab.
Frankly, that would be easier to pull off, probably.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Self-driving cars, first on Mars.
Yeah, because there's no people, so the government.
So who cares? Okay, well, I mean, you don't want to hit a rover. Those are up there too. I mean, those actually, there are self-driving cars on Mars right now.
True.
So.
Yeah, there are.
Okay, so with that, let's do some picks. Jeff, do you have a pick?
I do. I have a speaker today.
Cool.
It's the JBL Pulse 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's not cheap. It's a Bluetooth speaker. And it has built into its body LED lights, so it can do light shows for you while music is playing. And you can pair up two of these or more, so you can do stereo with them. Which is kind of neat, but having just a single one of these, holy crap, the audio is amazing. I've heard the original JBL Pulse, and it sounded really nice. But when I got to start playing with the JBL Pulse 2, it just blew me away. The audio on this thing is just stellar. And then a fun little addition to this one, it has a camera built into it. So what you do is you can take your speaker and hold it right up to an object. And then you hit this little button, and it takes a picture of the object and pulls out whatever that color is. And so then it can display that color.
Nice.
It's a light show. Yeah, it's a really nice speaker. I'm really impressed. But you get what you pay for. It's $200. Well, that's straight from Harman. If you get it on Amazon, I think you can get it for less.
Harman?
Well, Harman owns JBL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it looks like it's $175 on Amazon.
Okay, right there you go. So you can pick it up off Amazon for cheaper.
Neat.
But man, I'm just loving this thing. So what I ended up doing was pairing it with my iPad Pro, and I went away with my girlfriend for a birthday weekend, for my birthday, and we were watching movies and playing music on my iPad Pro with the JBL speaker attached, and it was just crazy awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, and if that's too expensive, I'll put in I've owned a JBL Flip 2 for a while, which is their $99 version, mm-hmm. and it's great too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, for traveling, the Flip 2 will be a little easier to manage because it's smaller and it weighs less.
Yeah, they have a Flip 3 now. I don't know how that compares, but
I'm assuming the audio is even better because the improvements to audio that they've made with each generation, it's like exponentially better each time.
Yeah, this looks like it might have a little bass. Oh, it has a bass radiator on the end. That's cool.
Yes.
So you probably have better bass response from the Flip 3. And it's also still $99. So get the Flip 3.
Cool.
If you don't want to spend the $200 on the Pulse. But the Pulse is way cooler.
Oh, the Pulse is amazing.
All right, Adam, what is your... Did you want to make another pick or do you want to go with that?
No. I was piling on Jeff's for those people who are more budget conscious. I'm just... You know, sort of saying the JBL Bluetooth speakers are nice.
Okay.
They're worth buying. I am going to do a pick that is totally goofy, and I'm surprised we didn't do this last week.
We weren't here last week.
One of you might pick it. It is an app called... Have you guys seen this app, Face Swap Live?
No. That sounds goofy, though.
Okay. So what this is you open up the app, and you have to have two people who are next to each other. And you pull it up, and when you're side by side, it will automatically detect each person's face and then swap them. It'll put your face on the other person's head and their face on your head. And
nice.
It's bizarre. You can also do it with still photos, and they have a couple built in. So, like, if you want to see what you would look like if you were on the face of a baby or if your face was swapped with Hillary Clinton's for some reason, or Barack Obama or the Statue of Liberty or Abe Lincoln. I thought they had stupid
Donald Trump.
Trump in here. Oh, they do, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't get into the political stuff. But you can also go out to the internet and search for photos to swap your face with. So if you want to swap with your favorite celebrity or whatever. But I think the funnier thing to do is the two-face swap. And you can flip the camera around. So if you're pointed at, you know, two people at a party or something like that.
Nice.
And you can snap a picture or a video. And, of course, you can share it on all your favorite social media networks. You can do some manual masking and stuff like that, although it's really difficult. So... if you want to use your own photos to do just like a single face swap, you've got to kind of map all of the features so the software knows what to do. And I find the tools for that not to be that great in this app. But yeah, just the live swapping is fun to do.
Cool.
So it's goofy and funny and silly, and people will get a kick out of it.
Nice.
Kind of freaky too.
Yeah, it looks pretty freaky. I'm going to try it, though. It's 99 cents.
99 cents. It's a buck. It's a good party trick. One of these party trick apps, if you bring it out at a party, everybody will get a big kick and a laugh, and it's fun.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Face Swap Live. It's not, there's no utility to it, I don't think. Maybe somebody has a really good use for it.
I doubt that very much. Okay, so my pick is an app called Cheeky Fingers, and it is for playing, well, helping you with piano. It is very cool. It's $3. It basically, it's a piano chord dictionary.
Hmm.
And I got it free in the Starbucks app. So if you have the, if you're a Starbucks app user, it's probably in there, and it's free, which is very nice. But you can just tell it what key you want to be in, and it will give you common progressions. You can make your own progressions. You can just play chords that are in that key, and it's just awesome. Because you can just play around with chords, and of course it, it has it transfers to any musical instrument, so you can just see what chords are in a particular key. Which honestly, I have a big notebook page of that stuff for guitar, but I can never find it. So this is going to be really nice for that because I don't really play piano.
Cool.
But it's $3, and if you at all enjoy music. Or noodling around with any instrument, this thing is really nice. So check it out. It's $3, or if, like I said, you had the Starbucks app, should be in there for free. And it's so nice. Worth it. Even if you pay $3, I would totally pay $3 for this. So check it out.
I've seen other apps with this. What's up with this like weird like 2D super long finger style. Some other apps that like have this like freaky long alien finger. I love the look. It's hilarious. But
yeah, I don't know. I know what you're talking about.
The, like these long fingers extending up from the side of the screen. It seems to be a theme I've seen in a few apps.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't like them, you can switch it to you can switch the fingers to red dots.
Oh, okay.
If you prefer.
No, I like it. I think it's a cool look, but it's just funny how many apps I've seen recently that have this style.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought I'd mention it because it's like, oh yeah, there's those long freaky fingers again. I'm trying to remember, there was another like game app that came out recently that has that in their screenshots.
Ooh, cool. And you can get notation, chord numbers. Yeah. Yeah, this is really sweet. Yep. So it's called Cheeky Fingers. $3. Check it out. So with that, you can find the picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. If you like the show, review it in iTunes. Give it a rating. Tell a friend who might like it. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the address to which you can send your feedback, questions, comments. And you can also leave your questions and comments on the show posts that we do. That's always fun. So then people can join in on that discussion. Or if you have a link to share, which many people do, they throw that up there. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, and at Mattcast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
And Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. And the TMO Daily Observations podcast, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here.
It's always awesome to be here.
It's always awesome to have you. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. I do that tweets things sometimes. So you can check me out there. And with that, we'll talk to you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck.